Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So I have a quick show for you tonight. I was actually planning on taking the day off until I saw some news today that was shared with me by, yet again, Marshall H. from our chat. Thank you so much for sharing this with me. It was the first place that I saw it. And I have seen this discussed by a few people today. Most of them, I believe I saw tagged by Marshall himself. And I, as always, will give a shout out to those who send me the information. So I appreciate that. But I have a quick show. There's four main topics I want to go over, mainly about Israel and about Syria. And I think in a lot of ways it all kind of ties together. But in general, it has to do with this concept that we're looking at right now in regard to the United States, that our government is partially shut down, which I personally don't even think is a bad thing. But regardless, it's shut down. And a lot of people think, and to some degree, there are people suffering because of it. And there's a lot of... any number of things that Americans could point to that they think is most important. The first thing that our government, our new 116th Congress, should actually be discussing. And instead, we get things such as anti-BDS laws. We get them standing up and speaking about how we should continue to stay in Syria, despite them saying absolutely nothing when the illegal war was began. And now we're seeing even more insight that it seems like Bolton is basically in charge of foreign policy and is openly saying now that the U.S. is not going to be leaving Syria, maybe just partially, and even that part is now only depending on another country's decision. So all of this quickly, I'm going to try to make this a quick show for you today. I thought it was really important to jump on and talk about this tonight instead of tomorrow. So let's get right into it. First, before we get into the BDS story, which in my opinion is clearly the most important story here, the BDS legislation, mind you, which I was warning about, that they were trying to slip into the government spending package, and clearly they're just finding any way possible they can slip this in, and now they've certainly found their way. But let's begin with the first part, which is about what this, not just the first bill that the Senate began to try and pass, but the first action of the Senate. And this coming from Zero Hedge, entitled Senate's First Act, an implicit rebuke of Trump's Syria drawdown. Yet again, showing you really what matters to them, which is making sure war doesn't stop. So this, and again, this whole story is something we've been covering ongoing. And something, again, if you remember, we've been saying from the beginning that this is ultimately where their minds are. Now, NBC describes the proposed legislation, which focuses on a new round of sanctions against Damascus, as follows. Although Congress can't force the commander-in-chief to keep troops in Syria, Senate aides say the move is designed to illustrate the need for a strong, continued U.S. presence in the Middle East and reassert the role of Congress on national security, which is important. Now, they go on to say, it comes as many of Trump's GOP allies have joined Democrats in deploring his announcement of a Syria withdrawal without consulting allies and lamenting the subsequent resignation of former Defense Secretary James Mattis. The Senate is moving quickly to assert its point of view on U.S. policy regarding Syria and in the broader Middle East, and it could serve as a rebuttal to the decision by President Donald Trump to pull back U.S. forces from Syria. So with this first discussion in regard to foreign policy, yet again, as if we need any further evidence that this nation is not the, you know, democracy they like to say it is, even the Republican-controlled Senate is making it clear that they all support a continued U.S. presence in the Middle East, even though time and time again, it is made abundantly clear that the vast majority of Americans think U.S. interventionism is a bad thing. Point of fact, which is it's the reason Donald Trump made that a huge point in his campaign, even though he did nothing of the kind. We don't need to be the policeman of the world. He's even said that recently. But yet now again, and this again, it's not even about Trump, but it's about the idea that we all are being told one thing while another thing is happening. Why Americans all say one thing while they continue to do what they want to do for many other reasons, the least of which is what's most important to you. But again, they say clearly that a need for a strong, continuing U.S. presence in the Middle East. These facades of the fact that the majority of Americans decide our policy needs to be put to bed. It's very clear that this is nothing to do with what you think. I mean, not to mention how absurd it is for these congressmen and women to remain utterly silent when war in many other places, Syria included, is initiated, which point of fact is their one of their primary jobs
that they just ignored, but then to speak out in order to stop that illegal war from ending. These people do not represent you if you're an American. They represent special interests, lobbyists, oligarchs, plutocrats, and military contractors. And of course, that incredibly small fraction of society that we call the ruling class. All while pretending these groups represent the will of the majority of the American people, when in fact it's clear that they absolutely do not. Now moving on to the actual first bill put forward by the U.S. Senate, again showing us that what they're doing has absolutely nothing to do with Americans. This coming from The Intercept, again shared with me today by Marshall, appreciate that. U.S. Senate's first bill in midst of shutdown is a bipartisan defense of the Israeli government from boycotts. And again, remember, this is something not just me, many people have been warning about them clearly trying to slip this in and doing it with as little fanfare as possible. They just like the Manager Wolves Act, just like the Farm Bill. This is how our politicians operate. They do things not based on what Americans want, but what on their special interests want. And they do so secretly as much as possible, so not to get people like us speaking up and saying, this is absolutely absurd. To do any kind of a bill that's not only unconstitutional, but says that we're not allowed to do something against a foreign nation. Of course, Israel being an important part of this. Now, in the 2019 GOP-controlled Senate, this first bill that's being considered is not designed to protect American workers, bolster U.S. companies, or address the various debates over border security and immigration. It's not a bill to open the government that's currently shut down. Instead, according to multiple sources involved in the legislative process, S1, the first bill, will be a compendium containing a handful of foreign policy-related measures, which we briefly touched on in the beginning as well, a main one of which is a provision with Florida's GOP Senator Marco Rubio as the lead sponsor to defend the Israeli government. The bill is a top legislative priority for AIPAC, not a big surprise, which if you're not familiar is the Israeli lobby. We've also talked about these people aggressively and illegally in many ways, focusing on anti-BDS protesters, even though that's their constitutional right, and doing so in many ways that would scare you. That we've touched on previous shows. And now we have our own politicians making sure this is the very first thing. With all that we're suffering in this country, with all the many things that, like I pointed out, that Americans would stand up and say, this is what's most important, that's what they think is most important. And that should resonate with Americans. Now, in the previous Congress, that measure in regard to Israel and boycott BDS, anti-BDS, was known as S-170. And it gives the state and local governments explicit legal authority to boycott any U.S. companies which themselves are participating in a boycott of Israel and BDS. As we just reported, 26 states currently have enacted some version of a law to punish or otherwise sanction entities which participate in or support the boycott of Israel, which is unconstitutional at its basis level, while similar laws are pending in at least 13 other states. Now, Rubio's bill is designed to strengthen the legal basis to defend those Israel-protecting laws from constitutional challenge. Again, recognize what that's saying. That despite the fact that this is as quintessentially unconstitutional to say that we're not allowed to boycott something, anything, that's our right. And now our own Congress is passing laws to make sure that they cannot come at this from a constitutional challenge. It's everything else we're talking about. The Farm Bill, as I keep bringing up, is a perfect example. That they're literally going through their channels to make sure that we or other Congress members cannot take actions to stop or do things that Americans actually want. Now, punishment aimed at companies which choose to boycott Israel can also sweep up individual Americans in its punitive net, as the article puts it. Because individual contractors often work for state or local governments under the auspices of a sole proprietorship or some other business entity. And as we also recently discussed, as the article points out, that was the case with Texas elementary school speech pathologist Bahia Amawi, the teacher who lost her job for refusing to sign a pledge to Israel, which is absolutely absurd. And she worked with autistic and speech impaired children in Austin. And because she refused to not promise or to promise, refused to promise not to boycott goods produced in Israel or illegal Israeli settlements, she lost her job. You might ask yourself, how does that even relate? Well, it's a good question, because it doesn't at all. The point is, this is infiltrating every aspect of our society. Now, thus far, the two federal courts that have ruled on such bills as this have declared them to be unconstitutional violations of the First Amendment, or speech rights of American citizens, both times. And that's why they're coming at it from this angle, to make sure that you can no longer challenge it on a constitutional level. Now, these are the Israeli defending free speech punishing laws, which Rubio's bill is designed to strengthen. These kind of laws that both the courts recently said were unconstitutional. Now, although Rubio is the chief sponsor, his bill attracted broad bipartisan support. Both sides of the false two-party paradigm, Republicans and Democrats, all support this, as is true of most bills designed to protect Israel and which are supported by AIPAC. It's bipartisan because it's infiltrated our entire policy, our entire political system today. It's very similar in regard to war. That's why we see the entirety of our Congress saying, no, we need to stay in Syria. We see both Fox and CNN saying, no, we need to stay in Syria, when they said absolutely nothing about when we went to Syria and initiated this illegal war. Now, last year, Senator Cardin introduced a bill that would have actually criminalized participation in international boycotts of Israel, and it was on the verge of passing, which we talked about, with significant bipartisan support, until the ACLU sounded the alarm on how incredibly unconstitutional it was. And again, regardless of each of these steps being shot down as roundly unconstitutional, these very same Congress people that are supposed to be representing Americans continue to drive this forward. Ask yourself why. Clearly, there's reasons other than what's best for this country. Now, that the newly elected 116th United States Congress would consciously choose to prioritize protection of Israel at the expense of the constitutional rights of Americans, and over countless bills, and just general topics that would help Americans, should really highlight the real collusion taking place, the real danger to our democracy. And I'll tell you, it's not Russia, at least not to this obvious and invasive a degree. ACLU Senior Legislative Counsel Kathleen Ruan told The Intercept, quote, "In the midst of a partial government shutdown, Democratic and Republican senators have decided that one of their first orders of business next week should be to sneak through," and that's important, to sneak through a bill that would weaken Americans' First Amendment protections, in particular about Israel, not just in general, but only when it's about Israel. You can boycott anything else, but not Israel. Very telling. She goes on to say, the bill, Combating BDS Act, is what it's actually called, encourages states to adopt the very same anti-boycott laws that two federal courts blocked on First Amendment grounds. The legislation, like the unconstitutional state anti-boycott laws it condones, sends a message to Americans that they will be penalized if they dare to disagree with their government. You know, the people are supposed to do. Speak truth to the power. Question their government. That's quintessentially American, and now they're passing laws to take that away, which is everything that's been happening over the last so many decades, even, or even further. Now, she goes on to finish, "We therefore urge senators to vote no on the Combating BDS Act next week." So please, if you feel like it will make a difference, and it often does, maybe not in the ways that I would like, but it can, please call your congressman, call your congresswoman, call anybody you think it'll make a difference, and tell them why this is unconstitutional. Tell them everything we just discussed. Send them this video. Make sure people are aware of what this is about. And it's not even, it really is about Israel, but taking Israel out of the conversation, this is about your constitutional rights being violated for the benefit of a foreign country. Very simple. So please get this out there. Now, in regards to Syria, which is definitely important, and it does in a lot of ways relate, because what's happening in Syria is essentially Israel's foreign policy being carried out by the United States. And now it seems like we're probably in for the long haul, despite what Trump said. Now, whether that's because Trump is being overruled by by people like Bolton, or if Trump was in on it from begin with, is up for you to decide. But before we even get to that next part, this is something I found very interesting. It turns out that U.S. attacks in Syria actually increased after Trump's withdrawal announcement. Very, very telling. Again, on which side of that you want to stand, whether Trump's involved in its ploy or he's being completely ignored by the rest of the White House or the rest of politicians in this country, is up for you to decide. But very clearly here, actual attacks increased despite his announcement, which is incredibly telling. I mean, really take a moment and think about that. Despite Donald Trump's, the president of this country's announcement that the U.S. will withdraw their troops, American strikes, bombs being dropped in the east of the country have dramatically increased. Now, this was actually revealed Thursday by an investigation conducted by Al Jazeera and The Intercept, which found that there are about 50,000 to 60,000 people actually stuck in eastern Syria, which is dominated by ISIS. Excuse me. Living, and these are people, these 50 to 60,000 people are living under these U.S. attacks. People are dying because of U.S. bombs, because of your tax dollar funded U.S. bombs. Now, The Intercept said that fighters and civilians in the village have reportedly been describing the U.S. bombing campaign as a scorched earth policy. You know, and this is absurd to think about. This is right, the ISIS group that Trump said was defeated. And now the U.S. is basically scorched earth carpet bombing these areas with 50 to 60,000 civilians stuck there. Now, at one point they could have, and they did argue, well, we're, there's, you know, Syria is occupied, ISIS has occupied these areas and we're trying to, you know, eradicate ISIS. But now even Trump himself has said they're defeated, which they're not, not entirely. And they're still continuing to bomb with impunity, not even concerning themselves with the hundreds of tens of thousands of civilians still there. Now, the U.S.-led international coalition in Syria admitted on Thursday that these attacks, there's probably much more than this, but just on Thursday, that it had killed 11 civilians from one family, including a child in Dar Zor, according to this report. Now, this is just before even we're supposed to be pulling back, and we just killed 11 civilians. Who's going to be held accountable for that? It's a good question. Now, as I recently reported, the U.S. military also admitted that it had killed about 1,139 civilians in Iraq and Syria since the start of its campaign against ISIS in 2014, which is absurdly low, but still, just if that, even if that was the truth, over 1,000 innocent people died because of this. That's not something we should be able to decide, that we should just bomb just because we're trying to kill whoever, even then, that's not even to consider the clear connection to the West and the United States in the creation of the groups that they're pretending to bomb. But this figure is actually significantly smaller than the estimates of civilian casualties made by monitoring groups, with one group, Air Wars, saying that it's actually between 7,300 and 11,600 civilians that have been killed. And if everything we know of the past in other countries in relation to this, it should be very clear that that low number is absolutely a lie. They've been caught roundly misrepresenting the people that they kill because it's clear they don't want us to know. So as attacks continue to increase, despite Trump's declare to leave the country, now we have Bolton coming out and saying something completely different. Those watching this channel shouldn't likely be surprised by that. Now Syria's withdrawal now depends on Kurdish guarantee not to attack the Kurds. Now there's a condition. Now if this doesn't happen, we're going to stay in this area. But we also just reported that Bolton himself said, we're not going to be leaving the Al-Tanf area, which he reiterates in this article. Now, President Trump will only withdraw American troops from northern Syria if the Turkish government guarantees it won't attack U.S.-backed Syrian Kurdish forces, this according to John Bolton himself today. So, first of all, saying we're leaving, it's over, it's done, as it's been reported roundly by pro-Trump outlets everywhere. Hooray! Another promise kept is now saying, well, now, it only happened if this happens, which is probably not going to happen, as we've reported roundly that Turkey sees the Kurds as terrorists. And some of them likely are, as only about 60% of them are Kurds in the SDF. But the reality is that Turkey's probably not going to say that. So now this is basically just an intentional hangup to say, oh, well, they didn't do it, so we're going to stay. But that's my opinion. Now, Trump demanded the commitment from Turkish President Erdogan as one of several conditions which need to be met before U.S. forces mostly exit the region. So now it's become mostly exit, not all U.S. troops, but, yeah, you know, we're going to get some of them out and we'll see, maybe 4 months, we're taking it slow. See how much this has changed just in the process of a couple of weeks. And if you remember, this is exactly what we expected and what I said on previous shows right when this was announced. Now, there are objectives, this is Bolton, there are objectives that we want to accomplish that condition the withdrawal. And this sounds very similar to things we hear, you know, North Korea, where there's all these things. Basically, they intentionally put blocks in the way that they know will stop it from happening because they don't want to leave. Bolton also said this is a cause and effect mission. Timetables or the timing of the withdrawal occurs as a result of the fulfillment of the conditions and the establishment of circumstances that we want to see. Just such ridiculous political talk. And once that's done, then you can talk about a timetable. So now we're not even talking about leaving. We've shifted the conversation. Now this is about Turkey having to do something in regard to the Kurds, and then we'll discuss the timetable, which then could be months after that. This is ridiculous. This is clearly the Boltons of his administration manipulating Donald Trump in his decision to leave Syria, if that was ever really his decision. But we have to see this for what it is. This is intentional manipulation of the story. Now, Bolton also noted that the U.S. troop withdrawal will not be a complete exit from Syria at all, as Trump had originally ordered, point blank. Instead, most of the American forces would be withdrawn from northern Syria, where the majority of an estimated 2,000 U.S. troops are deployed, while a small number of troops, which is, you know, they say small number, what that means to them could be completely different than what we think, but a small number of troops would remain in the southern part of the country, in Al-Tanf, which we've already talked about. The primary point, Bolton said, is we are going to withdraw from northeastern Syria. Clearly shifting the discussion. Now it's gone from we're leaving right now very quickly to, oh, well, it's going to take a little bit longer, to now Bolton said, well, but we're going to stay in Al-Tanf, to now saying, well, we might stay everywhere unless Turkey does something about it. So it's completely shifted from leaving Syria to now absolutely for sure not leaving Syria. Who could have guessed? Very, very revealing. And I hope people can see the escalation, the evolution of this discussion and see how they never intended to leave. At the very most, Trump wanted to leave. And that's up to you to decide if that's true or not. And all the other people came in and manipulated that. Now, we have to see that for what it is. That there are other people that likely have more pull over what actually happens than the president of this country. That has to be alarming. Now, we're talking about our own Congress being infiltrated by a foreign country, not Russia, and manipulating what they decide to do that has nothing to do with Americans. And now we have the president of the country. And remember, Bolton is going to meet with Israel right in the process of his Middle East trip right now in regard to Syria. So it seems like Israel has more of a pull in what we do all over the place, including at home, than the actual people that run their politicians in this country or the president. How will that really shake some people free of what we're really looking at here? And none of the stuff we talked about today, none of the actions being taken by any of these people, Congress, Bolton, in any way, shape, or form, has anything to do with what's best for Americans. Despite your tax dollars funding all of it, has nothing to do with what you want, what's best for this country. Truly hope people can begin to see that. Thank you for tuning in for this quick show. I really hope I got the information out there for you. We need to spread this to people. We need to wake people up to the reality, the contrast between what we're told and what's actually happening. Because far too many people are already going down the other way saying, didn't we already leave Syria? Didn't that already end? Thank you for the super chat. Wasn't that over last week? Didn't we already leave? Yeah, we saw them on the news. We're already done. And they don't look back. So it's your job, all of our jobs, to keep people informed about what's really going on. And if you'd like to help support this channel, there's many ways you can do that on Patreon, on PayPal, on Streamlabs. There's, you know, just simply sharing this video, as I always say, is really what's most important to me. But if you'd like to help buy one of our t-shirts, Question Everything, you can check it out in the link in the show notes below. And really, just helping to spread the word, helping wake people up to the reality is what this is all about. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here. I will see you tomorrow. And I promise it'll be a show and a TLAV research and review for those that are looking forward to it, because I'm due. I love you all. Stay safe. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.